Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Y'all are a blessing, such a blessing. Pray for you guys every day. Did you notice that? No. Whether you like it or not, you get it. So, and I hope you're praying for me because, boy, you know I need it too. We're all in this together, all going through this together. We're nothing without His grace, His strength, without Him. So He, in my weakness, His strength is made perfect, you know. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You know, so that people will see Him and know that even though we may be just, in some people's opinion, a carpenter's son, like they said of Jesus, isn't this the carpenter's son? Oh, He was more than that. And you know, if Christ is in us, you know, that is an amazing thing that God decided to dwell within us, that you and I become the temple of the Holy Spirit, that He chose us and called us out and allowed us to become one of His own. You know, it was His mercy that drew us in the first place. It was His grace that was extended to us. You know, even while we were yet in sin, He could too. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world. You know, there's great celebration in heaven. If there was a such thing as time, we could call it 24/7. You know, but it's just a continuous atmosphere of just ecstasy. How else can we say it? In the presence of our God. And as we join our hearts together, amen, with the Holy Spirit and His people, then we're also entering into that celebration. And heaven, amen, is here. Heaven is here. Wherever Jesus is heaven. And we have a taste, a foretaste of glory divine. Can you imagine? I can't. But it's going to be so good when we're with Him and we see Him in all of His fullness. And you know, I don't know how many of you have had maybe a rough week, but you know, we just have those days and those weeks and those moments and those times. But you know, every time that happens, something good is on its way. And oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He gives us beauty for ashes, right, Jennifer? The oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Thank you, Lord. You know, the enemy wants to put the chains on God's people. He wants to bog you down, to oppress you, to depress you. He wants to put a gag on you and shut you up and stick you in the corner and call you all kinds of names. We got to rise up in our identity as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Amen. Take our authority and say, no, we refuse to bow down to that devil. We're going to take these chains and we're going to throw them off. Amen. We're not going to carry these chains because Jesus set us free. Whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. And sometimes you got to praise your way out of that thing that's upon you. Amen. Just persevere. It's called waiting on the Lord. And Isaiah 40 says that they that wait upon the Lord shall what? They'll renew their strength. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing? God says, you're going to soar with me on wings as eagles. You're going to soar with me. Ah, yes. You know, I used to try to get high on the world, on inferior things. And every time I got high, I got lower. But that doesn't happen with the Most High. He says, you come up here, you soar with me. You know, there's a freedom that we have as His people. And you know, the Lord delights in you. He delights in us. And He wants His children to be joyful. And you know, let's face it, sometimes we have to tell ourselves that you have joy. It's not like we have to ask for something that we already have, because in Him, we already have joy. Because we have Him. And in Him is fullness of joy. So we just have to accept the reality that is that God is the strength of my life and He is my joy. And I have joy. I don't have to beg Him for something that I already have. I simply need to, by faith, exercise and step out in that. And Paul said it this way, rejoice in the Lord always. So you just align yourself with what God says. Do what He says, and it will be your reality. So when we're praising Him, when we're talking about the glory, the goodness, the awesomeness of God, we're basically aligning ourselves with what is true. You know, God doesn't move. He doesn't change. He's forever the same. But we have to get into agreement with Him. And we have to receive the truth. And it has to become our truth. And our minds have to be renewed in that truth. Amen. And as we get into agreement with the truth, then the fruit is manifested through us. So our minds are like the teenager, amen? They want to kind of waver sometimes. And, you know, teenagers, one day they're an adult, the next day they're a child, right? And so God wants us to mature, and He wants our minds to be renewed so that our minds are integrated with our spirit that is in Him, amen? And that now our minds are submitted to the authority of Christ. So our body, soul, and spirit are integrated, and we are holy. We're whole, a whole individual. Just like God, who's holy, body, soul, and spirit, so is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Are always in perfect agreement and harmony. And so God wants to make us holy in Him. So as we abide in Him, He brings an integration of all three parts of us together, and we become whole. And we're no longer we saying one thing and doing something else, right? Or thinking something and saying, you know, and doing something else. But we're thinking and we're saying and we're doing the same thing. We're in agreement. Amen. So that's what God wants to do with us. And that's part of why we need to continue in the Word of God to renew our minds and so we can discern. The Word of God is a discerner, doesn't it? It tells us that this is the flesh and this is the spirit. This is soulish. This is spiritual. So we can know the mind and the heart of the Father, and then whatever is not in agreement with that, then we have to take those thoughts captive, 2 Corinthians 10, right, 3 through 5, to the obedience of Christ. Because my mind wants to sometimes wander, you know, but the mind is not going to be independent, I mean, of the Lord that's in me. That mind has to be in submission to His Lordship every day. So sometimes it's a struggle, isn't there, going on? It's called the flesh warring against the spirit within us. So as we are focusing on renewing and basically coming to an understanding of who God says we are. Who God says we are. Not who others have told us we are. Not who we even say. Not even what we say about ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Let's face it. We've all been in a search for identity. Growing up, looking for friends and people or a group to hang out with or be associated with. And we're looking for that identity. Who am I? Where do I fit? Well, the only way you're going to know your true identity is to know your Creator. And that's made possible through Jesus Christ. Amen. And this fellowship, this union we have with Him, and He, the Spirit of the Lord, will make clear to us what is the heart of the Father. And the Father calls us sons. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm no longer a slave to this world system. I'm a child of God. I'm free. And sometimes we step out of character, you see, and we get back into the old. And God has to reel us back in. Thank God for His discipline in our lives. He's relentless, isn't He? Aren't you glad? If you're a child of God today, if you're truly born again, you're not going to get away with Him for very long. The Lord's just going to be on you. He's going to be dealing with your heart. You're going to be miserable. Till you get it right, amen, get recalibrated, reconnected. You start getting your orders once again, amen, from the right source. Thank you so much, Lord. This is just amazing time this morning. Thank you for listening to the right voice this morning and coming. What I want to do is I want to revisit something that I talked about a couple years ago. It's about really about having an overcoming or a total victory mentality. But it's, I'm going to call it an overcoming mentality. Our minds do play an important role in our walk. You know, when we are Christians, it doesn't mean that we don't use our minds. It means that our minds have to be sanctified. Amen? They have to be submitted. They have to come into agreement with the Spirit of God. God gives us the ability to think. Common sense, reason, really important, right? And so it's not like we leave our brains out at the door when we get together, you know. But we need to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So our minds have to be sanctified. And again, they're like the teenager. But your attitude, my attitude is huge. It can affect everything in your life. And attitude, as a matter of fact, your attitude could actually bear witness to your level of faith. If we're really in faith, or if we're in obedience, if we're or if we're in unbelief, when we begin to complain, when we begin to grumble, when we begin to worry, these are symptoms of unbelief. And our mind wants to go there. It wants to be the child sometimes, and we have to take, amen, those thoughts captive and say, no, that does not agree with what is true. I am going to be led by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. Truth is what's real, right? It's what's authentic. So we want to live in reality. A crazy person is a person living in a fantasy world, right? And I have been crazy much in my life. Sometimes we like to escape to a fantasy world because we don't want to face reality or face what is true. And there are many people that are running from God, hoping that somehow through, you know, media or some type of entertainment or stimulation, they can escape the issues of their heart, you know, the issues of their soul. But the Lord is pursuing. He's the one that sought us out. We didn't seek Him. He sought us. He went after us. The bridegroom would go after the bride. Amen? In the Jewish wedding, it wasn't the opposite. And so the Lord, our heavenly bridegroom, has pursued us. He sought us out. He came to seek and to save what? That which was lost. And so our attitudes have to be adjusted. You've heard maybe that song a few years ago. I heard it on the radio or something by Hank Williams Jr. Attitude adjustment. It works every time. Well, sometimes we need an attitude adjustment from the Father, you know. And we start getting into stinking thinking, and that leads to a stinky lifestyle, right? We start getting into stuff that, you know, we shouldn't be in, and God doesn't want His children getting into things that are going to be destructive, not only for themselves, but for others as well. So we have to behave ourselves, and we have to tell ourselves. We have this thing called self-control. We have to tell our bodies what to do. It's not to tell us what to do. It's our servant. Amen? So look at 1 John 4:17 with me. This is where we're going to begin. 1 John 4:17, and the word for love here is the word we've been talking about a lot, is agape, love. That's God's love. It's a unidirectional love. It's a sacrificial love. Love, agape, has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness. Is there nobody back at the... Okay. All right. We'll get to it. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. In the New Living Translation, I'll read it, as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. But we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus in this world. Ask yourself this question, do I live like Jesus in this world? How about Good News Bible? It says it this way, love is made perfect in us. And I know these are the perverted versions, but just listen to what it says, how it puts it. Love is made perfect in us in order that we may have courage on the judgment day. And we will have it because our life in this world is the same as Christ. Because our life in this world is the same as Christ. Now we know that we cannot be like Jesus unless we abide in Jesus. We have to be in Christ to be like Christ. Amen? Our responsibility is to continue in Him. So does my life measure up to this model, this standard, when Jesus walked the earth? Let me ask you this question today. Does God enable us to live in total victory over sin? God enables us, really, to live in total victory over sin? Good. Get a gold star for that. How about the flesh? Yes. How about the devil? Yes. God enables us to live in total victory. And so in order to have total victory, it begins with a total victory mindset. A mind that is believing that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My trust is in Him, His blood, His righteousness, His strength. It's not in my ability to live for God, but as I abide in Him, as I walk with Him in relationship, His will is accomplished. I'm going from the, if you will, the manual saw of working it up and making it happen and trying harder to power saw, because it's by His grace that we are saved. It's by His grace that we're enabled to overcome and live victorious in this world. So God is constantly trying to get that teenage mind of ours to cooperate and come under authority and begin to trust in His unchanging grace to bring stability, to bring wholeness, to bring order to any of our disorder. So does God give me the ability to live in complete obedience to His will? Yeah, He does. Amen. He has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So in order for me to go higher, I must be willing to move from the place where I've been. In order for us to grow, we have to enter into a cooperative process with the Holy Spirit. And we have to start listening and obeying the Spirit of God. Amen? For us to grow. There is a cooperative effort here. Amen? It's a cooperative fellowship of the Spirit. God doesn't force love and obedience. God desires that we would enter into fellowship and obedience with Him. As children that love and trust their Father and trust in His wise bestowment and know that the Father is with us and the Father is for us and that His plan is superior to anything that we could think of. And so we want to live for the greater things and not spend ourselves on the lesser things, the temporal things. There's a hymn that we sing when we go out to the nursing home, and it's called Higher Ground. I remember, you know, that's that old hymn, Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Amen. Another verse says, I want to live above the world. Though Satan's darts at me are hurled, for faith has caught the joyful sound, the sound of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith. Trust on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. If we want to go forward, if we want to move forward, if we want to go higher, we have to be through where we've been. We like to get into these comfortable pockets. And it's no different than a plant. If a plant remains the same and it doesn't grow, guess what? It starts to die. A plant, a tree, anything living, amen, in nature as far as the foliage, as long as it's growing, it's living. But once it stops growing, it's over. So you and I are likewise, we want to get into these comfortable pockets of predictability, of being in a place where I know how things are going to go. I've gotten used to being in this comfortable place. And the Father, sometimes He just has to stir things up because He's like, son, I want you to grow up. Amen. I want you to get off the breast milk. All right. I want you to start being responsible. I want you to start taking charge of your life. I've given you self-control. So God will allow things to stir us up, you know, because He wants us to grow up in Him so that we are in a place where now we can reproduce spiritually. We can bear fruit. Amen? And that others will be benefited. As we grow, others are benefited. You get it? The more we grow, the more that we have to offer. The more we learn, even. So we don't want to just grow in word only, but in experience, in knowledge of the Son of God, to grow up into a perfect man or a complete person. So that we're not just talking about what we should do, but we're actually living this out. We're walking like Jesus did. We're living like Jesus did when He was here. And when we live like He did in this world, it means that we have said no to the world, the flesh, and the devil, and yes to the will and purpose of God for my life. And in that place, I have confidence in the day of judgment. Because we want to hear Jesus say in that day, what? Well done. Good and faithful servant. So in Romans 8:37, it says that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. The Amplified says it this way, yet amid all these things we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through Him who loved us. So in order to overcome, we have to have an overcoming mentality. We have to believe that just as God has said in His Word, that this is true for me. This is my truth. Amen? That I am more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. I am an overcomer in Jesus' name. I'm not defeated. I'm a victor. Another word for that conqueror means decisive victors. We are more than decisive victors through Him who loved us. And we know it was Jesus who won the battle, didn't He? Has gone before us, our forerunner. And that anchor of our soul is within the veil with Him. We're connected. And so all that we have need of comes from Him to enable us to live a godly life, to live an overcoming life, a victorious life, through an abiding relationship with Him. And God, again, is weaning us off ourselves. Because you and I know sometimes we are our own worst enemy. So the church needs to rise up in this in general. And God has already provided everything we have need of. Now, a partial obedience mentality means a partial victory mentality. A partial obedience mentality equals a partial victory mentality. I'll say it one more time. A partial obedience mentality equals a partial victory mentality. My sheep, Jesus said, what? Hear my voice and they follow me. And I know them. He knows His sheep. And His sheep know His voice. And His sheep hear. That doesn't mean they just hear Him speaking, but they're saying, yes, Lord. Understand? They're hearing with their heart. We can get information. We can know all about God and yet be walking in unbelief and not really living out what we claim to believe. Remember King Saul? He had a partial obedience mentality. 1 Samuel 15:2. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Verse 3, now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. He said, utterly destroy everything that is Amalek. And the Lord commanded Saul to do this. And he didn't want a trace of Amalek. So what did Saul do? He returned and he boasted about the great job he did. Even though he obviously had not fully obeyed the word of the Lord. And of course, God raised up Samuel, didn't he, to go and rebuke him. And in verse 14, 1 Samuel 15, verse 14, the prophet Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? So it was obvious. How many know that your sins will tell on you? And so it was obvious he hadn't obeyed the Lord. And so, Saul tried to get religious and say, well, you know, we save these things so that we can sacrifice them to the Lord your God. And he was trying to justify himself. How many of us have ever tried to justify ourselves and we got caught? Yeah. How many know you don't prosper if you try to justify what you do? You need to say, yes, Lord, I was wrong. I apologize. I repent. I turn away from it. I obey your voice now. We're learning how to obey the Father's voice. I know the Lord loves you so much. And that's why he gets angry with us sometimes. He gets angry with us, just like we get angry with our kids sometimes. Amen? When our kids do stuff that grieve us, we get angry. But the Father gets angry with us too, for a good reason, because he loves us. Ever get mad at somebody because you love them and they're doing something stupid? Turn to your neighbor. No. But God wants a people that will obey his voice and follow the leadings of his Holy Spirit. So Saul, as a result of this partial obedience, you know, he was rejected. God doesn't accept the flesh, you know. He's not going to accept our ways. He says, my ways are higher than your ways. But sometimes we want God to do it our way, and so we just do it our way anyways. And sometimes we're asking God, like I said earlier, we're asking God, would you bless my way? Well, his way is already blessed. So we just need to walk in his way. If you walk in his way, then you'll be blessed in his way, because his way is already blessed. So we need to learn that even though we may think we want something so badly, we covet, we lust for things, that whatever the Father has for us is superior. And he can't bless the flesh. He, as a matter of fact, he said, Amalek, which is a type of the flesh, must be utterly destroyed. God doesn't patch up the old man. He says the old man has to die. And the new man created in Christ Jesus has to live in you now. The new nature you receive from God, the new heart. We obey that heart. Amen. We walk in that life. Because God won't bless the flesh, but he will bless those who are in the way with him. Why? Because that way is already ordained of him, and whatever he says, whatever he approves, is blessed. And so what did he say in verse 22? Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifices, and to heed than that the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Now, sometimes, folks, today, we do the same thing. We occupy ourselves, we busy ourselves with service for Jesus. But what God is really looking for is an obedient heart. That means sometimes we will serve God in a capacity that we want or that we're comfortable with or that requires very little sacrifice. It's easy. Yeah, I'll do this, but I don't know about that. Yeah, God will. I'll live in the Bible Belt. That's great. But going to Africa? Oh, I don't know about that. Surely that can't be the will of God. You understand what I'm saying? Is sometimes we do things for God, but it's a cover-up for disobedience. It's like we're going to exchange something. It's not what he really wants, but we'll give him something. Right? Yeah. Ever done that?
Yeah.
Turn to your neighbor and say, you've done that at least once. Come on, when we're new Christians, right, we're volunteering for everything. And you know, sometimes you discover the will of God in that. I'm not saying that you don't sample and get out there. I thank God for the people that step out, amen, are willing to get out of the boat and do something for Jesus. But the bottom line, folks, is the only thing that's going to remain is that what we've done in obedience to the voice of God. So if we're busying ourselves or spending ourselves in something that's really not what God wants, that's wood, hay, and stubble. You're wasting yourself. But if you're spending yourself in that which you know to be the will of God for you, that's gold, silver, precious gems, right? That's something that will remain. And God's people are the ones that are not just hearing but obeying His voice. We don't want to be Saul, you know, he had a partial obedience mentality. It's not okay to give God partial commitment. It's not okay to give God partial commitment. He gave his life for us. He gave his all for us. Romans 12 says it's our reasonable service now to give ourselves back. That means God's not just asking for a piece of you. God wants you to commit yourself. If you're giving God your body, guess what comes with the body? Soul and the spirit, the whole package. Amen. He's got an obedient vessel. By the mercies of God, let us present ourselves to God. Amen. Living sacrifices. To obey His voice is better than doing all kinds of good things for God. There's a big difference between working for God and walking with God. And God says, I want you to walk with me. And you'll discover that as you walk with me, you'll find my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you hear that today? That's what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. You'll find as you walk with me that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, and you'll find rest for your soul. You won't be striving anymore, working, performing, living up to the expectations of everybody around you and trying to please everybody and make people like you because they see what a good person you are. I want to be good with God, amen? I want to be tight with Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, have I made anybody mad yet? Give me a few minutes. I'm working at it. So, I'm just the paper boy today. I'm just whatever the Lord is dropping in. It's going to go. So, amen. I got backup up here anyway, so don't mess with me. You know, in the time of Malachi, when he prophesied the prophet Malachi, the people had been given their blemished offerings, remember? They were given their second best. You know, that's not okay. God doesn't approve of that. God wants our best. How many know He deserves our best? He gave His best for us. We deserve to give Him. Amen. Or He deserves our best back. So it's not okay just to do good things for Him. And we shouldn't settle for anything less than God's best. Well, I think in America we have a big problem with distraction. It seems like the more stuff we have, the more money, the more affluent we become, the greater the potential for distraction. And I mean, if you heard it before, but we've got access to internet. We've got access to entertainment 24/7, man. You can just spend your entire life on a tablet, surfing the net and just exploring and finding and people who play endless hours of video games. And the devil's just laughing how he's wasting you. You're spending yourself on something that is vain. There's no eternal benefit in that.
Oh, the pastor said I can't play video games anymore. But, you know, well, if God says put it away,
amen, then we put it away. I know the Father, he's not a hard taskmaster, amen. He says my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Walking with Jesus is a joy. When we're in right standing with him, we're walking with him, it's not a heavy, heavy burden. It's not like I'm really not enjoying this service. You know, people, they get involved in things, and we should, but only what God is telling us to do. But so many, I can remember going, well, here we go on another story, but I remember going to a picnic one time for this church, and the people that were like serving, they were serving hot dogs and stuff, and the attitude was just like really bad. You could tell they were not enjoying what they were doing. And they were serving Jesus, but they were just like sucking lemons or something. You know, they just had that attitude about them. And I was just thinking, man, I don't want your Jesus. I don't know what you got, but I hope it's not contagious. But as God's people, if we're in the will of God, there's joy, there's strength, there's satisfaction in the will of God. My meat is to do the will of my Father, Jesus said. So Jesus, we need an overcoming mentality. In Numbers 33:51, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Destroy all their graven stones, destroy all their molded images, and demolish all their high places. So here, they're getting ready to enter into the promised land, which they had no knowledge that in this place there were going to be giants. But they finally came to the Jordan. They were getting ready to cross over. And he says, now when you go over, I want you to deal with these three things. All right? Drive out all the inhabitants of the land, first of all. What are the inhabitants? The inhabitants are demons today. He says, destroy all their molded images. What are the images? They're the idols. These are false gods. Get rid of all demon spirits. Topple or destroy every false god in your life. And he said, in all the high places. Demolish all the high places. Now, what were the high places? These were these pagan altars that were on the tops of the mountains where they'd go and they'd worship the devil, basically. He says, you got to, when you get into the land, you've got to completely purge the land. You've got to get rid of all their graven images. He says, you've got to destroy all the inhabitants and you need to completely demolish the high places. What is he saying to us today? How does that apply today? He's saying, your heart is like that land that has to be taken. You've got to make sure that you destroy all these idols, these false gods that you've erected in your mind, these gods that are taking the place of your God, the gods that you have fashioned for yourself, such as the Jesus that I like is like this. But he may not be the true Jesus. He says you need to deal with these strongholds of sin and places that you've given refuge for the enemy to camp out in your life because you've made excuses for it instead of repenting and renouncing it and turning away from it. We want to make excuses. And as long as those demons have a place to stick on you, they will. And if you want to be free, and you want the land to be cleansed, you want your heart to be a place that can be completely inhabited, amen, with God's presence, you got to deal with the sin problem. You got to repent. Turn away from it. If the Holy Spirit is dealing with you about something, you better listen to Him. Otherwise, you're giving access to the enemy to come in and mess with you, and He'll keep ganging up on you until he's got you completely wrapped up in chains. And then you need to destroy all these high places as well. That really is pretty close to idolatry, isn't it? But it's, you shall have no other gods, he said, before me. Oh, sometimes the high places can be in the form of entertainment or sports or just things that are not necessarily evil in and of themselves, but they become gods and they replace him. Come on. It can be as much as an object, or it could be a vehicle that we own. I remember when I was younger, I used to love my cars, and I was always out there working on them, plinking on them, because they were junks anyways, but I would do whatever I can. I was always, you know, polishing that thing and making it nice, and I was spending all my time on that. And then I remember running a red light in Colorado Springs, not good, and it was a 65 Mustang. T-bone. Well, so much for that, God. But you know, if we esteem these things above God in our lives, then, you know, no longer is God in a place in our lives where our lives can be blessed and be protected. Somebody say amen. I know it's hard, but we've all done it, folks, and we have to be on guard against these things. Whoa. So what are these things? They're spiritual fortresses over our cities. They're strongholds, again, in our personal lives, these high places. There are high places in this city, and we are praying because God has given us spiritual authority, hasn't he? Yeah. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we are praying for our city. We're praying, amen, aren't we not? And I hope you are individually as well, but we get together every Friday night as a church and we pray and we storm heaven on behalf of you, God's people, but also that these things that are exalting themselves against Christ in this city will be brought down, and God can crush Satan under our feet if we'll pray. You know, if my people will pray, he said, and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. Forgive their sin, heal their land. Yes, God wants us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We have to pray that in. Well, you can't just sit around and with wishful thinking and hope God one of these days to take it away, or God, just get me out of here mentality. How many of us said that? There's times I just want to get out of here. God, just take me out of this place. But God says, no, you are salt and you are light. You are to be making a change, a difference in your world. And if you leave, then where's the salt? Where's the light? And I said this before, and I don't say this to boast. It's just because I know it's God working in my heart. But I'd rather be in a place that's dark than in the place where, this is me, than being in the Bible Belt, where they just sit around like chickens in a barnyard and pick at each other and compete against churches. You know, down the South, I've lived in the South, and, you know, there's a lot of churches. There's a church on every corner, and they're big churches. But I don't know how many Christians are in those churches. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to look like him, amen, sound like him, talk like him, walk like him. I want to be like the one I love and trust. I know Jesus has called us to take up our cross and follow him and to make him known. We got to get these things dealt with in our lives. Amen. We got to get this stuff out of the way that in any way would hinder us from fully accomplishing his purpose for our lives. Sometimes, folks, we're not doing the will of God because of fear or because we're trying to save ourselves. And I've said this many times before, but hear it once again. Never love your life more than the purpose for which it was given to you. Amen. Like Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. We've got a short time. We've got a short time. And we want to finish well. We want to finish with joy. We want to finish with strength. We want to hear the Lord say, well done. And I thank God for this church family that we have. So many of us have a heart for the Lord. We want to live for Jesus. We want to serve the Lord. We want to discover our purpose and live that out. And that's God working in you, both the will and the do. But what comes through that connection, that relationship, and adapting the same attitude of Christ. You know, here I have no continuing city. I'm living for eternity. I'm making myself of no reputation. It's not about my name. It's about His name. Making Jesus famous is our desire. Put a smile on the Lord's face now. Amen. I've lived for myself long enough. It's time for me to give myself now back. To love God back is to really worship God. That's what it means. How many know what Hebrews 11:6 says? But without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? Please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If we don't have a total overcoming mentality, if we don't have the mentality that we are overcomers, and that I can overcome all things because of Christ in me and the strength He supplies by His Spirit, then I will settle into complacency, hear me, and I will allow the devil to put the clamp on me, to put the chains on me, and to gag me and shut me up and stick me in the corner, and then I'll get comfortable being in a place of bondage. Isn't that what happened to Israel? I mean, one part of them is saying, I want out of bondage. But you saw how quickly things changed when they got into the wilderness and they started encountering some new challenges. All of a sudden they're saying, let's go back. Because they still had that mentality of a slave. And God had to get that out of them. We're children, sons and daughters of the Most High God. We've been given this responsibility, but it's a privilege and it's an honor to bear His name, to be an ambassador, a representative of our God, amen, in this world, to be His hands and feet, to pray, to bless, to serve, to drive out demons, amen, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to proclaim the kingdom is here. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. There is no one like our God. There is no one like Jehovah. He is holy forever, worthy. There is no one like our God. There is no one like Jehovah. He is worthy forever, worthy. Yeah, it's been a long time. We're going to have to bring that back in out of the archives. That is so awesome. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, Jacob. Elohim Adonai, God who answers by fire. Purify your bride. Amen. Jesus Christ is the true Messiah. Breathe on us and send us out in the spirit of Elijah. Hallelujah. Woo! We got to get a hold of God. Go after Him, you know. Pursue. Seek His heart. Seek His face. Don't seek just His hand. God, give me this, give me that. Don't live with just a give me attitude. It's like, God, I want to know You. So we can fellowship and walk together and we can do this thing together. And when you're in with Jesus, His desires will become yours. And that's why when you pray, you're going to be praying appropriately, according to the will of God. Because you're going to know His heart. You know, when God appeared to Solomon, He said, what can I do for you, Solomon? He was a young man and God appears to him. He said, Lord, give me a noble heart, a heart of wisdom, because I don't know how to rule this people of yours. But his heart was after God's heart, you see. He wasn't saying, give me long life and give me riches. But because he prayed according to the Father's will and he had the Father's heart, the Father said, you know what, Solomon, I'm not only going to give you wisdom like no man ever, but I'm going to give you riches. such as no one has ever had before. Amen. And he received wisdom, didn't he? And riches and honor. Well, let's just stop it right there in the story. But this is the thing. We want to pursue the will, the heart of the Father. In that, you're going to be satisfied. Thank you, Jesus. Would you repeat after me? I can. Do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. So we can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That is who you accept. Amen. His truth. You accept Him. You accept His truth. That's what it means to accept Jesus, is I receive His word. I receive Him who is the word. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this time, this opportunity together. And thank you, Lord, that you have already destroyed the Egyptians. And that you've carried us on eagle's wings. And you brought us to yourself. And you've raised us up with you. And you've called us sons and daughters. And our hearts cry out, Abba, Father. It's who we are. You're our Father. And we're your children. And Father, we want to honor you. We want to please you. We want to serve you. We want to live for eternity. So thank you for working in me both to will and to do of your good pleasure. It is my honor to serve you, to live for you. If you're here today and you just need to recommit your life to the Lord, just do so right now. Say, Jesus, I give you myself. I give you my heart. I give you my mind. I give you my body. I give you all of me. Lord, I recommit myself to you. And I ask you to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I'm asking you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Clothe me in your righteousness and lead me by your Spirit in the way I should go. Amen.